All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's get locked in on the Philadelphia Eagles. Welcome to the podcast, Locked On Eagles. Today, our Thursday edition of the show. Thank you for joining me. Got an interesting one for you today. We're going to be talking about one specific player, and it's Sidney Jones, cornerback, second year, the 22-year-old former second-round pick out of Washington. I feel like with the offseason now, among us, with the Eagles falling to the Saints last week, it's a good opportunity to start really getting into some interesting topics, some question marks with the roster, and me and Gino Camilleri, my co-host, we'll get into it more so as the offseason goes on, especially the next couple weeks, really talking about where the roster is going to be the same as last year, where there's going to be, like, where are the biggest question marks, what should be on the Eagles' wish list, what should be on their top targets for positional improvements. So we're going to get into all of that, but as you guys know, if you follow me on Twitter, I am big into the Eagles' secondary. It's something I've been fascinated with really since Howie Roseman committed to stockpiling this positional group with young talent, really starting with Jalen Mills in the seventh round out of LSU in 2016, nailing that pick. Look, for anything you want to say about Jalen Mills, you look at his playoff performance in 2017, and that pick was well worth it. Then the next year, taking Sidney Jones in the second round, and then Rasul Douglas in the third round, and you all know Rasul Douglas, I'm not going to take sole credit for the Zuul Hive. Liam Jenkins of Philly Sports Network's up there. My buddy Dustin Grasso of Inside the Eagles is also part of the Rasul Douglas brand. But you guys all know how big of a fan I am of his. And then, you know, this year in the fourth round, getting Avante Maddox and Roseman traded for Darby last year. He has been invested in fixing this cornerback position, which has been a position for the Eagles that, you know, until they got pretty much, you go to Lito Shepherd and Sheldon Brown. And then after that, look, Asante Samuel, when they got him from New England in 2008, that guy was a ball hawk for the Eagles for a couple years. But outside of him, they were rolling through the likes of Husilio Hansen and Dimitri Patterson and eventually really went all in on Nnamdi Asamoah and Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie, and that didn't work out. They paid a bunch of money to guys like Byron Maxwell, and they brought in guys like Leotis McKelvin, you know, stopgap Band-Aid type players like Kerry Williams and Bradley Fletcher and Nolan Carroll. And Sidney Jones is an interesting one that I really want to focus on today because I feel like he has the most potential to be the next Asante Samuel for this Eagles team, or the next Lito Shepherd, the next Sheldon Brown, just one of the next staple cornerbacks for the Eagles that you put someone in that position and you don't have to worry about that spot for the next, with Sidney Jones being 22 years old, the next 10 years, 10 to 13 years, if he becomes what his potential shows. And look, Sidney Jones has kind of become, I shouldn't say public enemy number one right now for corners, because it kind of revolves based on the performance each week of these corners. But now that the season's over and he was really the last one that was the butt of the criticism from Eagles Twitter, it really looks like it's Sidney Jones now that people are out on. And I want to pump the brakes on that. I really do. I think, look, I understand that the Dallas game and the New Orleans game stand out as ones where he just did not really play up to standards, although I will say he did have a hamstring injury, and that really was the main reason he wasn't playing as well. I'm just going to be honest with fans out there that, look, I understand the criticism, I understand the concern that he might not be the CB1 prospect that everyone's expecting him to be because of maybe the injuries, but talent-wise, I think we're overreacting, we're prisoners of the moment when it comes to discussing Sidney Jones. Bradley Fletcher, Kerry Williams, Byron Maxwell, the Leotis McKelvins of the world, all of these corners that have made the Eagles one of the worst passing defenses in football, basically from 2009 up until this very point, they've made Eagles fans very sensitive when it comes to cornerback play. And I feel like Sidney Jones is the new focus of that criticism. And it was a common trend in 2018. It wasn't just Sidney Jones. It really wasn't Sidney Jones up until that New Orleans game and then the Dallas game where, look, and I understand the emotions were high at that point. I thought the season was over when the Eagles fell in overtime to the Cowboys and they were 6-7. They really needed that win because, look, most of us didn't think they were going to be able to beat the Rams in L.A., then beat the Houston Texans, then beat a Washington team that always gives the Eagles trouble at the end of the year and find a way in the playoffs. So I understand the motivation behind being upset with Sidney Jones at the time. But this was a common trend in 2018 for Eagles fans, and it wasn't just Sidney Jones. Rasul Douglas was public enemy number one for a while until he got a bunch of games under his belt and ended up the final game of the season. Michael Thomas, one of the best receivers in football, was avoiding him in coverage. They were moving Michael Thomas on the right side of the field and in the slot because they didn't want Rasul Douglas covering him. And look, Drew Brees' QBR when targeting Rasul Douglas last week was a 39.6. It was Jalen Mills earlier in the season, too. And while I feel like that criticism was a little bit more accurate and a little bit more fair placed, even Jalen Mills, a lot of it had to do with the different coverages Jim Schwartz was using, a lot of zone. A lot of the time Jalen Mills was, you know, taking the top off, simply almost as playing like a safety with how deep he was playing. And I think Jalen Mills has always gotten a lot of unfair criticism. I think he definitely is a liability with deep plays if he doesn't have safety help. But even for what Jalen Mills, like, again, let's look at that 2017 playoff performance. He's not a CB1, but he, to me, deserves to be a starter on the field with his tackling ability, with his pretty solid coverage when it comes to press coverage, and he's a leader. You saw Rasul Douglas after giving up that touchdown to Amari Cooper in Dallas. Jalen Mills is the guy that put his arm around him and was helping him get through that tough moment. We saw ups and downs from Avante Maddox, too. Look, Avante Maddox showed the most promise of any corner for the Eagles this year. But even Avante Maddox, you look at when he moved to safety against Tennessee, he's the one that gave up the winning touchdown to Corey Davis. You look at against Chicago in the wild card round, he almost cost them that game with biting on those double moves by Allen Robinson. Even against New Orleans, I thought he made some nice plays down the field against Michael Thomas. Maddox has shown the click and close, the switching of the hips. He's shown the explosive ability to be a guy that you're saying, okay, this guy can go up against anyone in the NFL despite his size. He hits like a truck. He runs like a receiver. He has it all together. But even Avante Maddox, he had his ups and downs. And again, we have to preach patience with this position. This is not a position where a lot of players come in and instantly dominate. Specifically with Sidney Jones, look, I understand. He had the most potential. He had the biggest label, the most to lose coming into Philadelphia, because this was a player that, before tearing his Achilles, coming out of Washington University, people thought he was going to be a top 10 to top 15 pick in the 2017 draft. Outside of Marshawn Lattimore, Sidney Jones was the highest coveted corner in that draft. And then he tears his Achilles and he falls to the second round to the Eagles. And again, the injury concerns, I fully understand. Unlike Carson Wentz, who the injury-prone label was put on him this year, Sidney Jones' injuries, they're repeatedly leg injuries. They're repeatedly soft tissue problems, and that is very concerning. Can the Eagles rely on Sidney Jones based on health? That has yet to be determined. What I think should be a pretty safe bet is that his talent will translate if the health translates next year. It's such a big year three for Sidney Jones. I don't know if there's a single player, maybe outside of probably Carson Wentz, that has more riding on year three for Sidney Jones because of the emergence of Rasul Douglas, because of the emergence of Avante Maddox and Cravion LeBlanc and the return of Jalen Mills. There's a lot riding on Sidney Jones' third year. He really has to prove to the Eagles that he should still be the guy that they're like, okay, this is still going to be our future cornerback that's shadowing the best receivers each team has to offer. His poor play in New Orleans and Dallas, look, I think they were mainly because of that hamstring injury. He just couldn't get over that hamstring injury, and we all know how long hamstring injuries take to get over. Just look at Dalvin Cook from Minnesota this year. For fantasy owners out there, like myself, that had Dalvin Cook as a running back, I even kept the guy, and because of a hamstring injury, he really wasn't effective until week 10, and it cost former Eagles QB coach John DeFilippo his job as the offensive coordinator for the Vikings. Sidney Jones had a very similar injury, and you saw Amari Cooper take advantage of that. You saw Drew Brees and the Saints take advantage of that. They were specifically targeting Sidney Jones because he wasn't 100%. You could tell Amari Cooper should not have 10 yards on Sidney Jones when it comes to speed. Sidney Jones is a sub 4.4 40-yard dash guy that can run with the best receivers in the league. He has that speed. We saw it in the preseason against Cordarrelle Patterson and the New England Patriots, where he went toe-to-toe with one of the fastest, most explosive players in football. Again, I understand the injuries are a concern, but we cannot give up on Sidney Jones. We cannot label this guy as a bust. And that's the thing. That's the problem I have with Eagles Twitter this year, was that they were turning it around on Jones, not even talking about health, just saying that he can't play. And I just think that's so unfair, considering you have to. It's much like the Carson Wentz criticism, where people were talking about his performance and then completely ignoring his health. Sidney Jones is 22 years old, people. You're going to give up on a 22-year-old corner that has the promise, that has the talent, the potential that Sidney Jones has, I think you're absolutely crazy. While I don't think you're crazy if you believe more in Avante Maddox now, I understand that. We've seen him prove it on the field and help the Eagles win games. If you're more excited about Rasul Douglas's development, I understand it. But you cannot give a 22-year-old corner the bust label. For reference, Jaire Alexander, the Packers' rookie corner this year out of Louisville, he's only 21. Sidney Jones in his third year is going to be 22 years old. There is so much more for this guy to prove. I understand it, but there is so much time still for this guy to develop. And I'm not going to be the one that rushes that and forces him out of town and sees another team reaping those benefits. I still think there is a lot of good when it comes to Sidney Jones, and I'm going to get into that in our second and third segment of why a couple players for the Eagles. Look, the Eagles of all teams should know patience when it comes to their young draft prospects. So we're going to continue our discussion with Sidney Jones, the corner for the Eagles, 22 years old. I still believe in him. I'm trying to talk more people into getting back their belief in Sidney Jones. This is the Locked On Eagles podcast. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Locked On Eagles, this Thursday edition of the show. Sidney Jones is the topic of conversation today. Look, again, the Dallas Cowboys game had so much riding on it that I understand why people were on Sidney Jones, who was a liability in that second half. Amari Cooper was turning him inside out. I understand the injury concerns, but you cannot label those that Saints performance, that Cowboys performance, and just ignore health. I'm okay if you're concerned about the health. I am too. I am very much so concerned about Sidney Jones' health because, again, these are recurring leg injuries, a torn Achilles and now a hamstring injury that takes him out basically his entire second year. He played less than half of the games in 2018. But let's just, we have to go back and think about the talent. And we have to go back and think about the games he did play in that weren't just the Saints game and weren't just that Cowboys game. He was really solid in a lot of moments this year. Were there a lot of highlight plays? No. I don't know what a YouTube video of Sidney Jones Eagles highlights in 2018 is going to show. Although there were a couple eye-popping plays, there weren't a lot of the impact plays that Rasul Douglas had or Avante Maddox. He wasn't getting interceptions or forced fumbles or a lot of big hits. But he was really solid, especially in those first 6 weeks. You didn't hear from him. And that's a good thing. If you don't hear a corner's name a lot in a game, that's a strong trait. The fact that we didn't hear Sidney Jones' name really until that Giants game on Thursday Night Football where he got hurt, that's a big deal. That means he was doing his job in the slot. We were forgetting about Patrick Robinson because of how good Sidney Jones was doing. We can't forget about that. We kind of maybe forget because of how bad Jalen Mills and Ronald Darby were at that same time. But Sidney Jones, honestly, at the first half of the season, was probably the Eagles' most reliable corner. Tackling's another thing that people are now considering a weak point for Sidney Jones. And look, I'm not labeling everyone on Eagles Twitter, all of Eagles fans out there. I'm not saying everyone has this belief of Sidney Jones. But a lot of it now is that, oh, he's not the tackler that Rasul Douglas and Avante Maddox are, or even Jalen Mills. I disagree with that. I think tackling was not a weak point at all, as some have said. He had one missed tackle in the first month of the season. Do we not remember that Colts play where he shed a block on a screen pass, got around an offensive lineman, basically tackled that lineman and the ball carrier at the same time? I think you all remember the play. I'm going to put a thread underneath this episode that I share on Twitter. Follow me on Twitter, at DiBiaseLOE. I'm going to put together some of the key plays for Sidney Jones that I'm talking about. But his tackling was something that I liked coming out of Washington. And from what I saw in the preseason this year, and for the larger, you know, sample size this year, I thought he was actually a pretty good tackler. I think he sheds blocks through screens really well. We saw that in the first game against the Atlanta Falcons. I think much like Rasul Douglas, that's something that Sidney Jones can do very well. And if he's going to play it, look, we don't know where he's going to play next year, but if he's lining up in the slot, that's like another linebacker that needs to help against the run because most defenses now play nickel as their base. So if you're going to play nickel as your base, offenses are still going to run the football when you have that formation, and you have to be able to tackle on the edge if you're a slot corner like Sidney Jones. And I thought he did that for the most part this year really well. Again, I don't think you heard from him a lot. I don't think you're going to You're not going to be able to go on YouTube and find a 5-minute highlight reel like you're going to be able to for some other players. But I really liked the level of play Sidney Jones was having when he was healthy at the beginning of the season. He had and coverage too. Again, he didn't have any jaw-dropping plays, not a lot of pass breakups, not a lot of interceptions. But let's just go to his Pro Football Focus coverage grades. How about the first game against Atlanta? 73.1, that was in the green. Green means good. 74.7 against Tampa Bay. That was a tough game for the Eagles secondary, giving up some big plays. Remember the first play of the game, DeSean Jackson burns Jalen Mills to the house. Sidney Jones that game, didn't hear from him once because he was so locked down in coverage. Against the Colts the next week, 67.6. And again, that was the game where on back-to-back plays in the red zone, he made some incredible plays. Catching back up to Eric Ebron, who was wide open in the red zone, breaking up the pass. Then instantly in the next play, one of my favorite plays of the year, he sheds a block, he falls down, pretty much catches himself with his hands, much like Dallas Goedert did in the wild card game against the Chicago Bears. Gets back up, has one arm pretty much wrapped around an offensive lineman, and with one other hand, he stops the ball carrier. That's big-time ability. There's a reason that people fell in love with his prospects in the 2017 draft. And even this summer, Sidney Jones was labeled basically as the Ben Simmons for the Eagles. People were so excited to see him because, again, the Eagles have not had a corner of his talent in a very long time. And then let's go to the Washington game this year, too, because, again, then he suffers that injury on Thursday Night Football against the Giants. He misses about, 6 weeks, comes back against New Orleans, really wasn't ready. He even said it that he rushed it back. He was not himself in those games. He rushed himself back. He ends up becoming a liability against the Saints. He can't tackle. He's making the wrong angles. He doesn't have the explosive ability to catch up with playmakers. Michael Thomas is tearing him inside out. So he misses a couple more games, comes back in Dallas, and again re-aggravated that injury, and Amari Cooper made him pay for it. But the Eagles wanted to keep him out there because, again, a 60% Sidney Jones is probably still better than a 100% Devontae Bosby. But then he gets a little healthier against this is a week before. I don't mean to backtrack. But a week before that Dallas game in Washington, against Washington at home at Lincoln Financial Field, he was healthier. He had not re-aggravated that hamstring injury yet. 79.7 coverage grade. And I remember in that game, again, he didn't make a lot of crazy plays, but I remember just seeing his hips switch, seeing his speed vertical with Josh Doctson, and I'm thinking to myself, look, he didn't make any plays, but he didn't allow any receptions in that game. And I just saw the technique and the fundamentals and the athletic ability. And much like Avante Maddox, the same things we fall in love with Avante Maddox, I was falling in love with Sidney Jones. Some of the key things, his ability to flip his hips, click and close, speed to run with receivers, as he did, again, I love to bring this up because there's the one play where Cordarrelle Patterson, when the Eagles play the Patriots in the preseason, Cordarrelle Patterson just runs a streak. And Sidney Jones is toe, step by step, right there with Patterson. He's blanketing him in coverage, and he breaks up the pass. It was just a beautiful play. It was a CB1 play, and it makes you confident that if Sidney Jones is healthy and he's got to cover a guy like Tyreek Hill, he has that ability. It's cool now that they have two guys that have that ability with him and Avante Maddox. We saw a lot of the strengths I'm talking about with Maddox with Sidney Jones, and we can't forget that. Again, we can be concerned with the injuries, but we cannot label this guy a bust at 22 years old, and we can't say that he just can't play on the field. Because again, I don't think talent or ability on the field is what you should be concerned with Sidney Jones, yet a lot of people are, and I just don't think it's warranted. I mean, again, coverage grades of 73.1, 74.7, 67.6, those are back-to-back-to-back games. Those first 3 weeks, when he was his healthiest, he was dominant. And then later in the season when he's healthy against Washington, 79.7, his best game of the year on lockdown. And I know Mark Sanchez was playing quarterback, you can't just read stats off, but you just go to the film. If you understand cornerback play and you watch Sidney Jones when he was healthy, you'll understand that this is still a guy that the Eagles should give every opportunity to win a job next year on the field. He's too good when he's healthy to keep on the bench. He's good in the red zone too. Like, this is a high IQ cornerback. I remember he got through a pick from Jarvis Landry in the preseason against the Cleveland Browns on the goal line, ends up jamming that play, stopping it. Then the very next play, he knows to pass off the out route to Jalen Mills. He stops the crosser. Jalen Mills makes a nice play on the ball. Sidney Jones could have followed that guy, ran into Mills, and that's a touchdown for the Browns. But he has a very high IQ, and you need that when you're in the red zone with not a lot of space to work with. He's very good in that area. He did the same thing against Atlanta with Julio Jones on that interception for Rasul Douglas. Sidney Jones knew, look, he's going one-on-one with, Julio Jones is in the slot with Sidney Jones covering him, but he sees Julio's route, fast instincts with how quick the game of football goes. It's very impressive to see. He knows to pass him off to Rasul Douglas. He jams the crossing route. Rasul Douglas picks that ball off. And he did the same thing on the Darby stop against Julio on the game-winning play in that week one game. They're small things, but they're very important. And they stood out to me early in the year with Sidney Jones. Coming up next, we wrap up the show here on Locked On Eagles, this Thursday edition, focusing on Sidney Jones. I just feel like with the season ending and the secondary ending on a high note, I wanted to get into Sidney Jones because his situation is different now than what it was week one with how good Rasul Douglas looked, with how good Avante Maddox looked. But I still want to kind of get people excited about Sidney Jones again because I don't think this is a kid that we should give up on just yet. We shouldn't have did it with Rasul Douglas. We were smart to give him time. And look what it paid off. It paid off 100% with how good Rasul Douglas was down the stretch. You could have gave up on him in the first Dallas game. You could have gave up on him right after in the New Orleans game. You didn't. You gave him time to acclimate off the bench when he was healthy. And he was a tackling machine leading the Eagles in tackles 5 of 6 weeks. And he was incredible in coverage down the stretch. And I think we need to give Sidney Jones that same benefit of the doubt. This is the Locked On Eagles podcast. All right, welcome back to Locked On Eagles, this Thursday edition of the show. Look, two players show you shouldn't give up on Sidney Jones. If you're a non-believer of Sidney Jones because of health, look, I understand. But if you're a guy that doesn't think Sidney Jones can play, I just disagree with you. And even if you don't think he can play, you got to still at least see the potential, the speed, the athleticism, the tackling ability, the hip ability. Look, Rasul Douglas, as much as I love him, he cannot flip hips with press coverage. Like route runners like Amari Cooper and Michael Thomas, they can turn you inside out. Julio Jones, Antonio Brown. Sidney Jones, that's not a liability for him. And even if, again, he wasn't showing it on the field when he was healthy, there were times he struggled this year. The Minnesota game, he definitely struggled. The Tennessee game, he was okay. Still didn't get burned a whole lot. But when he was targeted, he didn't make a lot of plays on the ball. Two players I like to think of, when I was planning this podcast, I thought of two players that I'm very glad the Eagles didn't give up on, who had very rocky starts to their careers. Brandon Graham and Nelson Aguilar, right? Brandon Graham in 2010, a first-round pick. What were we saying about Brandon Graham for the first 3 years? It was, man, we could have drafted Earl Thomas or we could have drafted Jason Pierre-Paul. Going back now, how many people would take one of those two players over Brandon Graham if you're an Eagles fan? Not a single one. With what Brandon Graham has meant for this team the past 5 years, he made the most important play in Eagles history, strip-sacking Tom Brady in the Super Bowl. He consistently has been top five ranked as a pass rusher by Pro Football Focus every single year. The sacks aren't always there, but he always gets to the quarterback. And how about Nelson Aguilar? That was a dude that last, you know, the offseason of 2017, I wanted him gone. I wanted him on another planet. He had the worst start to an NFL career than I've ever seen for a wide receiver. Couple years later, he's one of the most explosive receivers in the slot in the NFL. He was one of the top players this year in making plays 30-plus yards down the field. We could have easily gave up on Brandon Graham 3 years in. Especially with Chip Kelly there running a 3-4. There was no need to have Brandon Graham as a 3-4 outside linebacker, but they stuck with him, and now he's one of the best pass rushers in football. Nelson Aguilar, one of the best options in the slot there is. Consistently, back-to-back, really great years from him. They could have easily gave up on him in two historically terrible years back-to-back to start off his career. But they didn't give up on him, and now they have two key players. And look, they might lose Brandon Graham this year. I really hope not. But both were very important, key, vital players in winning a Super Bowl last year and making a run this year again into the divisional round of the playoffs. Sidney Jones, he can be those two players. And again, I don't even think, it might not even be fair to compare him to those two because he, again, when he was healthy And he hasn't been healthy a whole lot, but when he has been, he showed more in his first year playing, which was this year, than either one of those guys in Aguilar or Brandon Graham showed in their first year. Nelson Aguilar made one nice play in the preseason. You know, his first catch, he scored a touchdown against the Colts. I don't know if many people remember that. It was a screen pass on the right side from Mark Sanchez. I still remember it because I was so excited about that season with Chip. In 2015, people were picking the Eagles to win the Super Bowl, and they end up going 7-9, but I digress. Outside of that, though, you didn't see those plays from Aguilar or Graham. I saw enough of those plays this year for Sidney Jones. That, again, I don't know what's going to happen with the secondary this year. It's going to be crazy. We're going to get more into it in the offseason. But I'm giving him every opportunity to be on that field. I think if Avonte Maddox is your new safety, and say Rodney McLeod's gone, right, which is a very likely scenario, to clear up some cap space, he's coming off a leg injury. They have a lot of depth at secondary already, trying to get younger. But let's say, hypothetically, Avonte Maddox is the new safety. Then, to me, Jones is one of your outside corners. Rasul and Sidney Jones are probably my outside corners, and Jalen Mills is in the slot. Because if Maddox is the safety, there's no way I want Mills and Douglas on the outside. Absolutely not. I need one explosive player that can run with some of the fastest in the league on the outside. And I think Sidney Jones is that guy. I would move Mills inside. Maybe Mills is the safety, and then perhaps Avonte Maddox you like better on the outside, and Sidney Jones in the slot. But even if that's still the case, I still think he has the most potential on this team in the secondary. I still believe that. Look, Avonte Maddox made me a believer. When they drafted him, I didn't see the need for it because of how much I believed in Douglas and Jones. But look, he did. He made me a believer. Avonte Maddox, 100%. And he shows a lot of the same traits as Sidney Jones does. But I still think Sidney Jones could be this team's best cornerback for the next decade. He could become, again, it may seem like a stretch to a lot of you now. I still think he could be an elite corner in this game. I'm very high on him still. Maybe McLeod's back next year, and then it's a little cloudier. You know, if McLeod's back, then you kind of have three spots open for four players, or even five players. I can't disrespect Cravion LeBlanc right like that. You got the two outside spots and the slot spot for Rasul Douglas, Jalen Mills, Avonte Maddox, Sidney Jones, and Cravion LeBlanc. But even if that's the case, I still think Sidney Jones end up getting one of those spots. But again, like then you have Jalen Mills on the bench, or you have Avonte Maddox on the bench, or Rasul Douglas. And to me, having one of those guys on the bench kind of convinces me that I don't want that scenario, and I would much rather have McLeod gone. Or maybe you try to trade one of them. I don't know. You could use one of them as trade bait now. It's a good problem to have. But to me, again, if I'm trying to remind people that Rasul Douglas and Avonte Maddox and even Cravion LeBlanc, they're the big names right now for the Eagles corners that people are very high on, right? They're the promising ones. And they deserve it. They were a key reason that this 2018 season lasted as long as it did. They could have easily performed like Chandon Sullivan and Devontae Bosby, and that would have did the Eagles in. Instead, they became one of the strongest units of the team down the stretch, helping the Eagles win six of their last seven games, getting to the second round of the playoffs. So I understand being higher now on Maddox and Douglas maybe than you are of Jones, but I want to remind people of what Sidney Jones still can offer this team. And I'd like to just scale back some of the criticism. Again, I know how bad the cornerback play has been for the Eagles in the past decade. I know what Bradley Fletcher did to you. I know what Kerry Williams did to you, and Byron Maxwell, and Leotis McKelvin, and Nolan Carroll, and Ellis Hobbs, and the list goes on, and Nnamdi Asamoah. It continues to just roll down this terrible, muddy hill of terrible corner names. I get it. It made you sensitive to cornerback play. But I think a lot of it had to do with Jim Schwartz's scheme. And most of it, for Sidney Jones at least, it all had to do with health. But if you think he can't play and that this is a bust, we got to relax. We got to learn from Brandon Graham. We got to learn from Nelson Aguilar. Give this guy time. He is 22 years old, people. He is still rookie age. He's 22. He's 4 years younger than Carson Wentz. Jair Alexander, again, is the guy I like to compare him to just because Jair is a rookie. He was a first-round corner this year, highly touted out of Louisville. He's 21. He's only a year younger. We got a young pup here in Sidney Jones, a blank canvas that we can still form into a very formidable corner. That, again, to me, I love Rasul Douglas. I'm very high on Avante Maddox now. I'm very high on Cravion LeBlanc. Jalen Mills, to me, is going to have a role in this defense somewhere. I don't know if it's going to be as a safety, maybe the third safety if they keep McLeod. Maybe he's the slot corner on the outside, but I think there's a role for Mills. But of all of them, I would still put money down that Sidney Jones ends up being the best corner on this team. Thank you for everyone that tuned in to today's edition of Locked On Eagles. Hope you liked the topic. I think Sidney Jones is a very interesting player, one that's a bigger question mark heading into the offseason, and that's really the theme of the next couple of weeks is what are the Eagles going to do with this roster and free agency in the draft? What do they need to do? Is it going to be similar to what the roster looked like last year? You know, some question marks on the biggest names that we really don't know their future with the team, and I think Sidney Jones is one of those. But again, just wanted to kind of bring it back the perspective a little bit and give some more detailed analysis of Sidney Jones' season this year, because I think it was a lot better than people maybe give it credit for. This has been the Locked On Eagles podcast. Louis DiBiase signing off. Please follow us on Twitter at Locked On Birds, at DiBiase LOE, and at Gino_LOE. As always, we have our written content and podcast posted on LockedOnEagles.com. Please subscribe to the show. We always appreciate some rates and reviews. And until tomorrow, thanks for downloading. Thanks for listening. And let's go, Birds.